Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to watch movies and series and talk about them with my friends that work here. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV? Good morning, guys.
Morning, Russell.
How are you? You guys were almost in pitch. We have ourselves a G-Force today. How are you, Graham?
Hello, how are yourself?
Lekker, man. And we've got Marigold back.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
It's been a while since Marigold has been on.
Yeah.
It has been a minute.
It's going to be nice. It's going to be nice to catch up.
Yes, I agree.
When not working a shift at the video store, Graham is an editor.
Yes.
Amongst many things.
Correct.
You've also got a history in writing, hey?
Yeah. Cole and I wrote a bunch of stuff back in the film school days.
Yeah.
And I wrote all our films together.
But you call yourself an editor?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yes.
When not working a shift, Marigold is a very celebrated tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Hey,
yeah.
Where are you working these days?
We have a private studio in Blegari.
Okay.
I work with Christabel. So it's just a tiny little spot.
Yeah. What is it called?
We don't have a name. It's a
you're
private.
You're that cool. You're right. That cool and that private that you don't have a name. And when I don't work at the video store, I am the owner of The Bioscope,
yes,
which is a cinema here in Johannesburg. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering into our video store.
Mm.
We have lots of very cool movies and series on our shelves, and we'd love to share it all with you.
Yeah.
This is our Clerks episode, so this is just us behind the counter having a fat chat about the movies and the series that we are watching. On Thursdays, some weeks, we have ourselves a guest episode. This is when an interesting customer of ours pops into the video store to rent something. This week, we are going to have a guest.
Mm.
We're going to have Angie Battis-Durant. She is a fascinating and lovely and amazing person.
Cool.
She is a photographer, a blogger, so many things you'll see. She's been behind a bunch of really significant and amazing businesses in Joburg that you maybe, if you know her, you know this, or you're going to discover the people behind some of these amazing spots that you remember, like Wolves Cafe,
okay,
Father Coffee, a
bunch
of things. So,
okay.
So she's lovely. She also happens to be the wife of Shane Durant, who is the singer of Desmond and the Tutus.
Yes.
But okay. I love how that's like, that's only down the line.
Yeah.
So that's going to be on Thursday, so tune in for that.
Nice.
But as a nice way for the three of us to get started, we've developed a fun little game here, which is called Hey, Did You Guys See? Which is our quick lightning round of news. This is in the world of film and TV, but also just in general life.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go around, and each of us are going to give us a Hey, Did You Guys See? Should I start?
Sure.
Okay. Let me pull this up. Hey, did you guys see the tabletop game Exploding Kittens has a TV show?
I did check that out.
And it is on Netflix.
Yeah.
Have you started watching it?
I haven't. I'm very keen though. But I saw that. I was like, and having a chat about Exploding Kittens the other day. And then it just popped up. And
Have you ever played the game?
No.
I haven't.
And I sell it at the Bioscope. So let me tell you what I did. I've got good friends that work in the world of gaming,
right,
and these tabletop games.
Yes.
And I was like, we should stock games at the Bioscope. I don't know whether, because Marigold, you worked with us at the Bioscope for many years.
So, and Exploding Kittens was there.
It was always there. What I did is I looked at their bestsellers list.
Right.
And I, honest to God, just picked the ones with the coolest names.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Unstable Unicorns, Exploding Kittens, Bear Versus Babies, Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza, which, by the way, is the greatest fucking game in the world.
Cool.
But anyway, so I've never played it, but now the TV show exists. It's on Netflix. It's animated. God is up in heaven and is kind of losing the faith of his board. And so they send him down to Earth to like do some good in the form of a cat. So he is now this cat in this house. That is like the God cat who knows he's God, but has to sort of help this family. And then it seems like hell gets the same idea from seeing what they did with God. And so they send like the devil up. And so now the two cats are in this neighborhood sort of fighting each other.
Right.
I love that.
It's ridiculous.
Hell of a concept.
And it's fun.
Nice.
Cool. Graham?
Hey, did you guys see a trailer for a movie called A Different Man?
Yes, with the weird
Sebastian
faces.
Sebastian Stan, yes.
Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
It looks really interesting.
It's bizarre. So it's like a buddy horror, but dark, but weird.
Kind of. So Sebastian Stan plays a guy with a condition. I've got it here. It's called neurofibromatosis, which is a real thing.
Okay.
Which means it's a condition where you grow like non-cancerous tumors, just like randomly.
Mm.
And there's a particular guy who's in the film named Adam Pearson who has this.
Okay.
You can look up pictures of him. This dude here. He's been in a few movies.
Yeah. It looks like this guy. Big, melty, sort of like, imagine like mashed potato face. Yeah.
And then, so Sebastian Stan plays a character with the same condition. He undergoes some sort of experimental thing to like cure it, basically. And then Adam Pearson plays him in a play based on his life. And he becomes like obsessed with this guy.
Mm.
And like,
so kind of like Birdman obsession.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. Like sort of like who he used to be in a way. And like, is his life actually better now that his face is normal, so to speak?
Because now he's handsome.
Yes.
And he sort of longs to be this kind of weird freak again.
Kind of, yeah.
That's what you get the sense from in the trailer.
Mm. Yeah.
Sebastian Stan was, amongst many things, he was Tommy in Pam and Tommy.
Yes.
He was the Winter Soldier in the big Marvel movies.
I was going to say, of all the people who have kind of like launched their careers from the MCU, he seems to be the one who's kind of doing the most interesting stuff.
That's a good point.
He's kind of like taking the most advantage of it, not to just make like blockbusters and like shitty Netflix movies. He's like making like real movies.
Interesting.
And like, you know, flexing the acting muscle. Cool. But I think it looks really good. I think it looks really good.
A Different Man.
A Different Man, yeah.
Okay, and we'll see what kind of shape and form it comes in South Africa. You know, some of these more obscure films don't even make it to cinemas.
Yeah.
So let's see.
I know it has been screened at like some festivals and stuff overseas, and it's getting pretty positive feedback. So.
Yeah, that's the first round, if someone didn't know, that a film will try and play in as many festivals as possible to get those laurels, to get those little awards.
Mm.
And that helps the currency to determine who buys it and how they buy it and how they distribute it. So the longevity of a film can be determined by how well it does in film festivals.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Okay. Marigold?
So I have a few.
You got to start with, hey, did you guys see?
Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Maxine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the whole
you haven't seen
trailer.
The...
I know of it. It's come to cinemas, but not South Africa.
Yes. And I think if we could at the Bioscope.
It would be amazing. We would have to do some secret little covert screening just for ourselves. But yeah, this is the end of a trilogy.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's X, Pearl. And Maxine,
You see, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, it's sort of like a low-key trilogy. Like, they haven't really advertised it as...
But it's become almost like this cult classic now. It's like people obsessed with Pearl. There's like certain scenes. I remember when it was coming out where people would just Pearl was everywhere.
Did Pearl ever make it to cinemas in South Africa?
Yeah, I think it did.
Because I asked the distributors who handle this kind of content. I said... Are we going to get Maxine? And they said it's not on the cards.
Oh, interesting.
Which is strange. Do you have to watch all the do you have to watch them in order, or do they stand alone?
Well, we watched Pearl first, and then we watched X.
Which is meant to come first? Yeah. Or which came first?
I think
X is first. What was released first?
But Pearl is set before X.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But is it the same universe? Or?
Same
universe.
Yeah,
the same like main character, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen any of them either, but
so these are these cool indie horrors that are coming out through like an A24 type channel.
Yeah.
And they're garnering this cool like cult following.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Maxine is something that
I'm
keen
so excited.
To see about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I think it's come out now in other parts of the world. Unfortunately, not South Africa.
X and Pearl both came out in 2022. That's interesting that they get them both out in the same year.
Okay. Speaking of weird, creepy horrors.
Oh, yes.
Hey, did you guys see that there was a screening of Long Legs in the States that was interrupted by the FBI?
Really?
Because a serial killer was in the movie and they caught him and arrested him. In the movie, watching a serial killer movie.
Oh, my God.
So, Long Legs is out in cinemas, including the bioscope.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Cha-ching. And it is a very similar to the X's and Pearls of the world, this kind of cool, artistic, smart, very precise horror. So, not like silly, schlocky scream horror. And Osgood Perkins is the filmmaker. Very divisive. Some people absolutely love it. Some people have had problems with it. But that's what makes good stuff, right?
Yes.
It's not meant for everyone. Mm-hmm. But it is about a serial killer. The killer is called Long Legs. Very mysterious, very crazy, kooky role played by Nicolas Cage. You don't know much. Everything's very shrouded in mystery until you actually see him. So yeah, very much about the mind. It's very cerebral. And so you could imagine if you were a serial killer, you might want to choose that if you want to go and watch a movie on a Friday night.
Yeah.
So interesting. Very similar to the upcoming premise, Trapped.
I was about to say, I was about to bring that up. The new M. Night Shyamalan film.
Yeah. Do you know about
very
that?
I don't. Premise. But we watched an M. Night Shyamalan
Ding Dong. Yeah, yeah.
Film last night. We watched Knock on the Cabin or something like that?
Knock at the Cabin.
Knock at the Cabin.
Mm. He's been behind more than you think.
Oh, yeah.
He was the writer of She's All That.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's bizarre.
It's wild. But there's a movie coming out later, in a couple of weeks, I think, called Trap.
Trap.
It's just called Trap.
Yeah.
And it stars, hunky 90s fucking, what's his name?
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett, mm-hmm. who's now making this kind of much more like adult comeback,
which
is great.
I love Josh Hartnett. He's
and
a great actor.
What we know from the trailer is that they are attending this kind of Madison Square Garden-esque concert.
Yes.
From a sort of Lady Gaga-esque singer.
So it's him and his daughter.
It's him and his daughter.
Yes.
And it gets discovered that, because he says to the guy at the merch stand, "What's with all the police?"
Yeah,
and the guy says, "Oh, I shouldn't be telling you this, but the FBI, or whatever, are setting this huge trap because apparently the killer, this particular killer that everybody knows about, that's chopped up a bunch of people. Apparently, he's at this show, so they've designed this whole thing to be a trap to get this person. And then the trailer alludes to the fact that this is Josh Hartnett."
Yeah.
The dad, the sweet dad.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the trailer shows you, he sort of goes into a bathroom cubicle and looks at some surveillance camera and there's a guy tied up. So we know old Shyamalan is smarter.
Yeah, are they giving that away?
And
if that's
he's
like,
only giving something away, there has to be some big twist.
But this was the thing, and we were having this conversation last night, myself and Seth, about these horror movies and that it gives away so much.
Yeah.
Because when it comes around to my turn again, there's another film that I would like to talk about. Mm. But the trailer gives away everything. And then M. Night Shyamalan, he, in Knock at the Woods, whatever it was called, everything was given away. The first, beginning of the film is exactly the same as the trailer.
Right.
Yeah. So it kind of like, we both, after watching a very, very, very scary horror movie, going into that, we were like, oh, but we know what's happening, so it's okay.
Right.
It's like a little bit of calm after.
Okay. Yeah, I, that's the thing, is that I look at the trailer for Trap, and I'm like, there has to be more to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It has to be a whole nother spin to it, because at this point, surely this isn't the
the
twist.
Surely they wouldn't put that in the trailer.
Yeah, so they obviously, you have to believe there's smarter people involved in the smart thing. Cool. It's your turn.
Sure. Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Batman Caped Crusader?
No.
This is an animated series.
Okay.
From Bruce Timm, who's the guy who did Batman the animated series back in the day in the 90s.
People really love that.
It is an incredible show. It holds up like unbelievably well. Yeah. It kind of became like the like definitive versions of those characters for a lot of people. Like Kevin Conroy as Batman. He passed away a few years ago, unfortunately, so he's not Batman anymore. But like his voice as Batman, he's done it like dozens and dozens of times. Mark Hamill as the Joker. Like that show invented Harley Quinn.
Okay.
A lot of stuff came out of that show. Now he's doing a new show. J.J. Abrams is producing.
Okay, so that's a big deal. Big Hollywood is involved.
And
okay.
it was originally, I assume, going to be on like HBO Max or whatever. But for whatever reason, they dropped it and now Amazon picked it up.
Okay.
Which is a weird choice, but...
But they've been doing a lot of animated stuff.
Mm, yeah, like Invincible and all that sort of stuff as well.
Okay.
But it looks really good.
And like what is it called?
It's called Batman Caped Crusader.
Okay.
And it's like Bruce Timm was talking about it, like this is kind of... They're doing stuff they couldn't do in the old animated show because that was like a kid show.
Okay.
And now this is obviously skewing much more adult.
Okay.
So they're kind of going like, cool, this is like the adult version of that show, but obviously like new cast, new animation, all that stuff.
That's interesting. Of all the you know, the animated kids stuff, it's just interesting to see what lives on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember chatting to a sort of real like geeky dude, grown up geeky guy, and he was like, no, the animated show is special.
Mm. Yeah.
The Batman animated show. It's a little bit like the X-Men series.
Yeah.
And you can see why it's been given a new life with X-Men 97 on.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Which is a great show.
What is it on?
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus.
Yeah. But yeah, our Batman animated series is on, it's on a few things. It's on, I think it's on Prime. I think it's on Netflix as well.
Okay.
So it's out there. It's easy to get, it's easy to find.
Of all that stuff that was made, it's interesting to see what kind of lives on.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, it continues.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Lovely. When does it start? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Sometime later this year. I think like August or something maybe.
Okay. You see, this is what I was talking about. When we had the writer's strike last year, there was no ability to give good warning of what was coming up because no one was able to promote.
Yeah.
So the whole first year of 2024 suffered because for the whole second half of last year, nobody could be going, hey, there's this coming. Hey, there's this coming.
Mm.
Yeah, check this trailer. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, 1st of August.
Cool. Soon.
Yeah.
All right, Marigold.
It's not a new movie, but hey, have you guys seen Us? Jordan Peele's
No.
Us.
Okay. I want to see it.
Terrifying. We watched it last night and we were so scared. is a part of me that, like, going back to what I was saying about trailers, is disappointed that I saw the trailer.
Right.
And for people that haven't seen it, I almost don't want to give away too much because I feel like the experience would have been so much better if I hadn't been like, oh, that's going to happen, you know? And you kind of don't want the trailer to reveal who the monsters are.
Yes.
Immediately,
What,
you know?
What can you say is the back of the box?
Back of the box, little girl has a holiday with her family. Mm. She goes into this place, this room full of mirrors. It's like an amusement park. And she sees her own reflection, but her own reflection moves. Now it goes to the future. And it's, that story kind of starts unfolding now.
Okay,
what did she see in the basement at this amusement park? But what's really cool as well is it's a majority black cast in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Lupita Nyong'o is the main chick. Hey.
And the acting was incredible. And Seth and I were trying to figure out why we were so scared. We usually watch horror movies together. It's just, especially when we're feeling a little bit fragile, which isn't the best thing to do.
That's an interesting
but it's like
psychology.
It's like our lives could be worse, you know?
okay, yeah.
And we were watching, we were like, why did this one get us? And I think it is the actor. The acting completely. Right. The actors just, it was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
I always think that that's the interesting part of horror. That came up in film school.
Right.
That comes up often, which is why is this scary?
Yeah.
Yes.
Apart from the scare.
Yeah.
The jump scare, it's cheap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We can all, I can hide behind the corner and give you a fright.
Yes, exactly.
That's easy.
Mm.
But it's the unsettlingness,
and
I'll never forget things, and I've mentioned this before on the show, like why Nightmare on Elm Street was so scary was because it was in your dreams. It was the bed used to be the safe space.
Yeah.
You know, the monsters were under the bed or in the cupboard.
Yeah.
They were never in your bed. So the moment you got sucked into your own bed and your dreams became where you were haunted, that's why that was scary. Whether a little kid watching this could piece that together or not, is irrelevant. Yeah. They found that scary because whether they knew it or not, their bed had been invaded.
Yeah.
You know, or like child's play was because it was a doll. Dolls shouldn't be scary, but or clowns. Clowns should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's scary. It's like they've attacked the safe spaces. They've attacked the funny.
It's taking that mundane stuff.
Yeah.
And making it frightening.
Yeah.
I went down a Jordan Peele rabbit hole, just kind of looking up all of his other horror movies. I'm sure everyone's seen Get Out. But there was another one called Candyman, and we were having the conversation about Candyman. And when I was little, my cousin used to freak me out with like Bloody Mary and Candyman. She used to turn off the lights, and she had like long nails, and she used to like scratch me with the lights off, so I would be completely traumatized. So when we saw Candyman, I'd be like, I don't want to watch this.
This
is gonna play like completely on my psyche.
There was a Candyman film, and then he remade it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a different childhood, eh?
It was wacky.
I didn't have that happen to me.
Shit. Yeah, I was very scared of Bloody Mary.
Where is Us available?
Us is available on Showmax. Yes. Get Out as well.
Okay, yeah, cool. They're smart. And, you know, if you've watched the comedy of Key and Peele, and you know Jordan Peele, you know that he understands genre.
Yes.
Because that's the point. That's actually the magic behind Key and Peele, their sketch show. Is that they understand the genre of like the zombie movie, the alien movie, the sports comedy, the whatever. So they know all the buttons.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he has now gone on to make and write and direct stuff.
Yeah.
And he has built those buttons perfectly, which is like a horror movie or a psychological thriller. And he understands how these movies need to be made.
Scary.
It's very cool.
So scary.
Okay, I've got one more. Cool. Hey, did you guys see that we are screening Fly Me to the Moon at the Bioscope?
Oh, yes.
Which is a movie all about the moon landings, which I realized now, this is the anniversary of. This weekend was the anniversary of the moon landings. They happened on the 20th of July, 1969.
69, yeah.
And so if I knew that... A little while ago, I would have programmed the Bioscope a bit more accordingly. We did screen Fly Me to the Moon on Saturday. It actually did have a whole bunch of people come.
Nice.
But I should have made a more bigger deal about like, this is the anniversary of the moon landing. It's a lovely film. It's really cool. It's all about the Apollo 11 mission to land on the moon. Channing Tatum is the lead of the NASA project.
Right.
This whole mission sort of very much rests on him. And the movie starts with NASA not getting a lot of funding, not getting a lot of public favor, because at the time in the 60s, there was the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
There was the civil rights movement. So there was lots of money that was needed in other places.
Kennedy had just been assassinated.
Exactly. He had said, let's put a man on the moon for the end of the decade.
Yes.
And so when there's the expensive mission to go to the moon, the public was like, we need to put this money here in our back garden because people are fighting in the civil rights movement and we should stop the war in Vietnam. There was a lot of mess.
Yeah.
So Scarlett Johansson is a sassy, very talented media person who gets brought on by the government to help reinvigorate the public favor to support the moon missions.
Like market.
To market the moon landing, she comes out of sort of this Mad Men-esque sort of ad agency.
Yeah.
And she comes and sort of upsets Channing Tatum's life.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's cute and there's a little bit of chemistry. And then there's the fun joke around the fake moon landing. So what happens is they are on course to land on the moon.
Yes.
But the same government who hired Scarlett Johansson says, we think you must, or not what we think, we are telling you, we want you to shoot a fake moon landing in case these guys don't do it for real.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then conflict and excitement ensues.
Okay.
So it's very fun. But yeah, it's cool that it's the anniversary of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure whether the release of the film was timed around it. I don't think so, because it came out a few weeks ago. But it was cool that we hit the anniversary of that.
Okay.
That's awesome.
All right. Should we talk about other things?
Yeah. Wait, I want to do one more.
Okay.
This is going to be a very, very short one. Hey, did you guys see they seem to actually be doing that Napoleon director's cut now? They spoke about it last year, and they were like, there's going to be a director's cut, and then they went quiet on it.
Okay.
And then everybody's like, okay, it's obviously not happening now, but now it's been rated by the American Ratings Board. So everybody's like, oh, cool, they're actually going to release it now.
This is Ridley Scott's big epic
yes.
film about Napoleon with Joaquin Phoenix
yeah.
that came out on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, first cinemas, then went to Apple.
And it was a good stonking 3 hours long.
No, it was. It was about 22 and a half.
Okay.
And now there is a 4-hour director's cut coming out.
That's straight to TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's going to sit in yes. cinemas for 4
But I'm
hours.
Excited about it because you could feel like that there was stuff missing from it.
Interesting.
Like you could tell like, okay, they wanted to explore that more, but they had to like pull it back for theaters.
Yeah, I mean, the guy had a big, crazy, epic life.
Yeah.
And he wasn't as short as you think.
Yeah.
No, that was British propaganda.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to probably come to Apple TV Plus
yes.
at some point.
Probably late this year.
Perfect for television.
Yeah.
Great.
You can stop whenever you want.
Yeah, go have a wee.
Yeah.
nice. Marigold, one more?
I have one last one. One more. Have you guys heard of American Horror Stories?
Okay.
Yeah.
Follow up to American Horror Story.
Different. And why I liked it so much is because it isn't kind of like one season is just about a certain story. But this is an anthology series.
Okay. Oh, so it's an anthology within an anthology.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So it's every episode is a little bit shorter. It's up to, I think the longest one would be about 45 minutes. But it's short stories of little folk tales and American horror stories.
Cool.
And I thought it was a way better, what's the right
sort of
word?
Setup.
The setup,
Package.
Yeah.
Like use of then, the premise.
Exactly. Yeah. Then American Horror Story, because I feel like American Horror Story has gone a little bit flat.
Okay.
So to have different writers and
that's
doing
very cool.
each episode.
You can imagine the writer's room with them going, okay, well, what is our next season's story going to be?
Yes.
And there being a whole bunch and everyone going, these don't warrant a whole season. They actually just warrant one show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then someone going, hey, let's
do an anthology. Yeah.
That so like concept like, that actually appeals to me a lot more than like
it's good.
Whole seasons of like one story and then a whole season of a whole different story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it always starts strong, American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. It always starts super strong. And then there's just like this weird little bit. And then it can either end incredibly or it ends like, oh, guys, that was way too many hours of my life.
You got the landing.
Yeah.
And that was probably them trying to milk a show for more than it was worth.
Mm. Yeah.
I love the Black Mirror concept.
Yeah.
And it really felt like Black Mirror was the first show that did that for me, which is that there is this unified theme and idea, but every episode is vastly different from the rest.
Like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jordan Peele going to do his remake.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen his remake.
I watched one episode, but I think I definitely want to dive a little deeper into it.
Because the original holds up really well,
really
considering
well,
how old it is.
Yeah.
Like, Where can you see the original Twilight Zone?
I actually don't know. I remember it being, when it was still broadcast TV was like a thing. I remember seeing episodes of it there, but I have no idea where you get it these days.
And where is Jordan Peele's remake?
That's another good question. I actually don't know.
Okay, it was probably made for some American TV
network.
Show
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you can stream it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what have we been watching? You watched Us, G-Force?
So I finished, because it just finished last week, it would have been, The Acolyte.
Okay.
Which is the new Star Wars series on Disney Plus. Mm. It ends a lot better than it starts.
Okay.
Like
so
it gets a lot significantly better towards the end once they get to the point. And it takes its time to get to the point. Well, I don't want to spoil things. Like, but it's nice to see Star Wars kind of playing a little more ambiguously. Star Wars has always been very binary in terms of like good and evil. Like, these are good characters, these are bad characters.
Yes.
This is what makes them bad, this is what makes them good. Like, to see characters that are like, they're doing horrible things, but they're kind of doing them for the right reasons. And, like, it does a thing which I like. It's one of the few things I like about the prequels, which is how the prequels are sort of all about how terrible the Jedi are. Yeah, they're just a shit institution that are just built on like ridiculous notions.
Yeah,
that's what, and it like really doubles down on that.
That's what I've come to realize as more of an adult, is that there is more to that.
Yeah, that's like the thing I find the most interesting there. And I'll say, we often say this thing where we look at movies and, or at least a lot of people say that should have been a series. It would have been better if that movie was a series. People said about Dune. People say that about like long movies. People say about The Eternals, that sort of thing. This is a series that should have been a movie.
Interesting.
I think this would have worked better as like a two and a half hour package as opposed to like an 8-episode series.
But a bit toiter.
Yeah, exactly. Because like I'm saying, like it gets good once it gets to the point. And it should have gotten to the point faster. Okay. And the last like two episodes where it gets to the point is where it like kind of gets good.
And that's also the same with American Horror Story. I found exactly. It was like, get to the point.
Yeah.
There's always that sort of episode three or four where it's like, it's just a bit meh.
It's dragging. Yeah. You're dragging
so like, if you're watching to get through the first four, and then watch the second half of the season when it actually gets interesting.
Okay. Speaking of tight and concise TV shows.
Oh, yes.
I'm on a little bit of a sports docuseries tip.
Yes.
I mentioned last week Sprint.
Yes.
Which is very cool to watch. And I'm just going to say it again. It is about, it's the classic Netflix, let's get into the characters and talk about a sport series. Done the best as Drive to Survive, which is the Formula One show that has changed the course of Formula One history. They then clearly commissioned every other fucking sport under the sun. So you got Full Swing, which is golf. You got the fucking tennis one. But Sprint is interesting. Sprint is about the sprinters.
Right.
The 100 meters and the 200 meters, which is what's considered the fastest people in the world.
Yeah.
It is basically a challenge and a story between America and Jamaica, who are famously the good sprinters.
Mm-hmm.
But it is delightful to watch because the Olympics are on the corner.
Yes.
Right.
And ahead of the Olympics, you are going to see and feel like you know the characters of the story that's going to play out. Where you know this guy, Noah Lyles, and you've learnt about these Jamaican women, and they are fucking phenomenal people. They are interesting, interesting characters. There's one in particular that just warms your heart from Jamaica.
All right.
She's like consistently been so good, but she's now older than she should be, but she's a mom, and she's just got this character that just is incredible. And there's just something so simple about the gun goes off and you just got to run as fucking fast as possible. Do you know what I mean? There's not strategy. I mean, there are strategies to some degree, but it is 90% mental.
Yeah.
And it's 90% what happens just in that moment. Did you manage to get off the block a split second before the others? But at the end of the day, there's something so simple and primal about it's just running in a line.
Yeah.
So Sprint is cool. But then there's another one that's just cropped up about Simone Biles, who is the American gymnast. Young black American gymnast who is considered, you could argue, like arguably the best athlete in the world based on her success relative to everyone else. It's just two episodes. So that's what I'm saying. Nice, short, and concise. And more is coming, they say, in August.
Okay.
Because they will obviously be filming her success
at the Olympics.
Or
at
what
Olympics,
she does at the Olympics, and that'll make more episodes.
All right.
But also just paints the picture of this person, this young black woman coming in at a time when like just the politics of like what a gymnast's hair looks like was under inspection. And everyone else had these blonde, you know, these little Russian gymnasts had these like long blonde hair. And here comes this more like fro-y, crunchier afro. And that was a thing. And it's like, oh my God, are we fucking talking about this?
Yes.
But it was a thing. And this little black girl had to deal with that while just trying to do backflips. But she has had a number of things named after her now. So it's that, and I find that the sport allows for that, which other sports don't. So if you do this particular move and you now do it two or three times as opposed to just one, you can get this move named after you. So she's got like a Biles 2, which is like a particular movement that's named after. She's got more things named after her than anyone else.
Jeez.
Which means she's pioneered these new moves.
Yeah.
I think it's so smart as well to have that. It's like you're following the story real time.
Yeah.
I think that's really brilliant and really engaging. And to be able to find out more about these people while it's happening, you know, because that's the kind of thing. It's like when you're watching a movie, you're looking up things about them, you know, currently. So to have that story that you can actually just follow on
I'm
your streaming platform is very fun. That's very cool.
Yeah. And I've said this before that the lens of 2024 is this idea of mental health. And so we are re-looking significant moments in culture through the lens of mental health. So look at the Robbie Williams documentary. Look at the Beckham documentary. Yeah. It's not just, we're not making these like, oh, and then I scored a goal, and then I did this, and then I did that. It's like, the what's interesting is going back into the psychology of these moments. And so what is important in Simone Biles' story was the Tokyo Olympic Games, where she didn't do what everyone expected. Everyone was like, she's going to clean the floor. She kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And did this like average little dismount and then pulled out.
Yeah.
And she, and everyone thought she was a quitter. And, they, you know, people love to sort of say she gave up and she's this and, you know, she should be doing this and she should be doing that. Meanwhile, you get to tell the story now, which was like, I was fucking out mentally. And I was in the wrong place. And if I stood, they called it the twisties.
Right.
It's a term in the gymnast world, which is like your brain is literally twisting.
Right.
You're not right. And she was like, if I stayed in that and continued on one of those dismounts, I could have fucked out. I could have landed on my neck. I could have died. And so the whole thing gets reframed and told through her story. And I just think that's delightful. That not only are we in this age where someone could get a show easily made about themselves so that we can hear the story, but we are seeing it through the lens of mental health, which is amazing.
Right.
And important.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoyed that. But I've got another one about women and the rights of women and the world's expectation of women is a film that's just popped up on Disney Plus.
I know exactly what you're going to talk about because as soon as I saw a trailer for it, I was like, Russell's going to watch that.
And what is that film called?
It's called I think it's called Young Woman in the Sea.
Yeah, Woman in the Sea.
Woman in the Sea.
Is it Young Woman?
I thought it was Young Woman in the Sea.
Yeah, it's called Young Woman in the Sea.
With Daisy Ridley.
Okay, so Daisy Ridley, we know most famously as being part of Star Wars.
Yeah.
She was Rey.
She's a Rey, yeah.
In the latest films that got made. This is the story of Trudy Edderly, who is a swimmer, who famously swam the English Channel and was the first woman to swim the English Channel.
Okay.
So she goes down in history as being this famous swimmer. But this comes at a time when women weren't even allowed to compete.
Yeah.
And so she was one of the first in the American team. It was just like if you could swim decently, you made the team. It was interesting. But the film is all about overcoming adversity. She was almost going to die when she was a little kid. But it's a very beautiful, very well-made, big-budget Disney film that looks pretty. They've like really pulled out all the stops. And she acts her pants off about it. But she sets her sights on swimming the English Channel, which was now only being done by sort of a few handful of people. We are talking, Marigold, like she did it in 14 hours. That's 14 hours of swimming.
I see.
And she, when she did it, I don't want to give too much away, but she beat the current men's record. She was the first woman and she beat the men. So at that point, became the fastest person. But you're talking jellyfish, you're talking treacherous parts, you're talking currents. It almost makes no fucking sense to do it.
Yes.
And you're like, why would we do this? But it was a big deal at the time. It was a huge deal. She got one of the largest parades in New York history for an athlete.
Right.
And you watch the movie. I don't want to give too much away. You watch the movie and you're like, this seems a bit overdone. Like, would they really give this much of a shit? And then you see the footage afterwards and you're like, oh my God, this was fucking huge deal.
Yeah.
It was a massive deal. But it was also about everyone's expectations of women being completely underestimated, changing the course of history. And it's a lovely watch also when you think about the other movie, which came out recently on Netflix called Naiad,
yes.
which was about the 60-year-old long-distance swimmer doing another route, another treacherous route. That was between Florida and Cuba.
Okay.
Which is just these amazing swims. Mm. They're not allowed to be touched. That's what's an interesting part about this.
Okay.
You can't just like hold onto the boat and sort of wait for a bit. You can't hold someone's hand. You cannot be touched from the moment they enter the water to the moment they get out on the other side.
Mm.
No one is allowed to touch them. So they have this like long stick with a net, and that's how they grab their food.
Yes.
But they got to pee and do their business in the water.
Yeah.
They got to sort of just tread water while they eat or drink.
That's so
yeah.
I mean, it's ludicrous.
Yes. And I'm sure.
And it's like, why the fuck are we doing
this?
There
has been like many accidents that happen.
Yeah.
With that,
so people
right?
die. Oh. People yeah. die all the time. And if you get swept into the wrong current.
Exactly.
So a lot of it also has to do with the luck and the planning.
Mm. Yeah.
But there's points where you almost got to do this 90-degree turn away from where you're swimming
right.
just so that the currents
doesn't take
will
you.
Eventually take you, you know, straight right. course.
This is so wild. Crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Young Women in the Sea, it is similar to Naiad.
Mm.
These movies start a little bit slow.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's about a swimmer.
Yes.
That's just going to do a long swim. And,
yeah.
like, and you don't think it's that interesting.
Yes.
Both of them start quite slow and small, but by the end of it, you are fucking in.
Yeah.
Both of those movies okay. deliver right at the end, because it gets to this point where they have to stand for the first time in like 20 hours.
Yeah.
And their bodies are fucked and they have to crawl out of the ocean and no one can grab them until they get out of the water. No one can touch them,
Jesus.
Even
so
at
hectic.
That point. So there are these huge moments for like really good Hollywood storytelling
yes.
with swelling music and you now know your character, you can feel their determination. So they're like good sports movies.
Yeah.
And the sea is fucking terrifying.
Yes.
So that's
the
another
sea
thing.
Can be very terrifying.
It's so scary.
It's a scary place. It's a very interesting place. One of the loveliest, you know, the best, one of the best things about my life was a decision to scuba dive.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
The call was made when we were young. My dad grew up in Durban. So always loved the ocean, and it was decided once, hey, let's scuba dive. And as a family, we did like some scuba diving trips.
Okay.
It is by far one of the coolest things I've done in my life.
Yeah. Mm.
To see like mantis rays.
Yeah.
It looks like, it's like a scene from fucking Independence Day, where these like giant aliens just collide and just, you know, block the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're massive. And one of the coolest things I did was dive a wreck in the Red Sea.
That's cool.
It's called the Thistlegorn.
Okay.
But it's a huge boat that got bombed. It was an Allied ship that got bombed. And so the ship split in half, and these two halves sunk down into the ocean. And you go down the middle and swim through these cabins. And you see, like, trucks and...
That's so crazy.
Motorbikes.
Jesse.
I've got this memory of looking down and noticing that the rubber here, shout out to climate change, the rubber is perfectly intact because obviously this plastic doesn't dissolve in the ocean. But things like the steel fuel canister of a motorbike, you know, that kind of sits between your legs, like that's obviously rusted and got holes in it. And I remember seeing like a fish swimming through it, you know.
That's so cool.
But of course, the rubber is still intact.
Yeah.
But it's just this moment in history that's just stuck in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a little bit of a tangent.
Yeah, okay.
But loved it. Loved it. Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. Is there anything else that we're excited about?
Ooh, I'm not sure. Oh, well, this week, today, in fact, technically, we're going to go watch Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we're going to go tonight.
That's right.
A nice big, big fancy Disney premiere, which is cool.
Mm.
So that should be fun. And we're going to screen it at the Bioscope.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, what I long, you know, Marigold, you worked at the Bioscope for many years.
Mm.
And you were part of our, like, pre-upgrade Bioscope.
Yeah.
And when we upgraded, which means we're now able to screen, you know, bigger releases, which has actually always been the plan of the Bioscope.
Yeah.
We just found it all very overwhelming and very expensive. But when we were able to do it, we were very grateful because there are kinds of movies that the Bioscope could do better than a shopping mall.
I agree.
Yes.
I'm not naming any names. It's not about businesses. It's about where they are.
Yeah.
They're in shopping malls.
Yeah.
which is a particular way to watch a movie.
Yes.
Where in the first movie, you'd love this, I don't know whether you noticed it, but at the time, the first movie we were able to screen with this upgrade was
Poor Things.
Poor Things. Where the people who would love and want to watch Poor Things aren't going to go to a shopping mall on Friday night.
No, exactly.
They want to drink cocktails and be under the stars.
And exactly. Super personal. It's a personal experience.
Yeah. It's sort of something out of an art gallery.
It's magic. Yeah.
And so when something like Deadpool rolls around, it was interesting to think about whether or not that was a bioscope movie. And it actually was a bit of a debate.
Right. Mm.
Because it is super mainstream.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's also not, because it's R-rated. So it's not this kiddies movie. It is going to be more adult, which is what the bioscope is.
Yes.
And it's also something that you can play with, because we have 2 slush puppies at the bioscope behind the counter. We've just chose red and blue.
Yes.
Strawberry and raspberry.
Raspberry, yeah.
And I immediately thought, let's play with this, because we have something called a slushed puppy.
Yes.
Which is when we add alcohol into the slush puppy. Mm-hmm. So we can keep the red, and then we're going to change the blue to a yellowy orange. It's going to be mango. Mm. And we can do these like Deadpool, Wolverine slushed puppies. Gad, who makes the rock candy, can draw faces into the candy. Yeah. And he's going to make Deadpool and Wolverine candy.
Nice.
We have the posters that we sell, and I'm going to get more Deadpool stock.
Cool.
We have the Funkos that we stock, and I'm going to get Deadpool stock. So, like, I realized the bioscope is perfect for this.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it is going to be fun. And so I'm excited to screen that.
Yeah.
Big punt over. Carry on, Graham. Why are you excited about Deadpool and Wolverine?
I'm not sure I am excited about Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay, so there we go. That's interesting.
Well, the thing that I am interested in is having Hugh Jackman back.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like either of the previous 2 Deadpool movies, to be honest. I find Ryan Reynolds' shtick a bit tiring.
Okay. Fair enough.
But like, I haven't watched much about it, but I saw the first trailer that came out, and the thing that I got was, fucking hell, Hugh Jackman's a good actor.
Yes,
he's a good actor.
He's a treasure. And why I thought you might be interested in it is that it's a return to a more original-looking Wolverine.
Yes.
So what does that finally mean?
Got the yellow costume.
What is that?
Which, it's just kind of like his look in the comic books, which in the early like superhero stuff, at least in the X-Men, particularly X-Men really, they really like wanted to like squash that and be like, no, this is serious.
Okay.
They don't wear bright colors. That's silly. They wear black leather. That's serious.
Okay. When they made the movies.
When they first X-Men made that. Movies. Yeah, the first one that was made by that sex pest dude, I'm not going to name. They even made a joke about like Cyclops says something to him about, what do you prefer, like yellow spandex or whatever.
There was a nod to it.
That's like the source material. Like the bright colors and like the kind of silliness of superhero costumes is so like embedded in superhero iconography.
And isn't that a bit of a microcosm of how films were made 20 years ago? Where they were like, no, we are going to update and change.
Yes.
And nowadays, the angle of filmmaking today is like, let's be as authentic and as real as possible.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, if this is a woman's story, like, should we have a woman directing it?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, is it, you know, interesting?
Yes.
Okay. All right,
but they seems like finally be embracing that, and apparently we haven't seen anything. He has like a very particular mask that he wears.
Mm.
He's like finally giving him that. Like,
okay,
they're just like embracing the comic bookiness of it, which has kind of been missing from the X-Men movies.
Mm. Rad. Okay, lovely. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
What a lovely chat.
Mm.
Thank you.
It was so nice to see you, Marigold.
Yes.
Lovely to be here.
Thanks for working. Thanks for working, finally.
Oh, no, sorry.
No, you've been so nice and busy. It's just lovely to have you every now and again. So thanks for popping in. And thanks for listening thus far, everyone. Mm. We love you and treasure you and value you buying all your credits for the video store and coming in often to redeem them. So thank you. Mm. And just another note that on Thursday this week, we are going to have a guest episode. This happens every now and again, and Angie is going to pop in. So be sure to give that one a listen.
Nice.
It's going to be lots of fun. All right. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.